Hello, I'm James Vallett, your local attorney practicing law in Arkansas and Mississippi for the last 23 years with news, views, and looking at the law on KJIWFM 94.5, and it is heard at 10 a.m. and rebroadcast at 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. each Saturday. And it's also podcast and heard around the globe at www.kjiwfm.com. So tell a phone and tell a friend and tell your friend to tune us in. We have something to say, and they want to hear it. It is my pleasure to be joined in the studio by the Honorable Mayor of the City of Helena, West Helena, Mayor Kevin Smith. Hello, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mayor Valley. How are you doing?
Thanks for
having me. It's very gracious of you.
Yes, sir. I'm glad that you came out so we can have this talk on the radio today. And after I do my intro, I'm going to come back and we're going to have an interview with Mayor Smith. But first, I want to do as we usually do. We want to pause and extend our sympathy, empathy, and condolences to each and every family who has lost a loved one recently. We have a list of obituaries, and certainly if your family member is not included in our list, it's because we didn't see it, not because we don't care. But certainly there's Mr. Otis Howe, who had a funeral today in Helena, West Helena, although he had moved to Little Rock, and then Miss Betty Rader, Mr. Harold Glenn Wilson, Mr. Lawrence Brown, Mr. Joseph Albert Jr., Ms. Willie Mae Staples Steele Smith, Mr. Walter Cunningham, and Louis Charles Gamble Jr., also known as C.C. Gamble, who was murdered in Jonesboro, Arkansas on New Year's Day. All of those have obituaries and have recently passed away, and we don't necessarily have the date and times of the funeral, so we won't go into that part at this time. However, as we conclude this session, we want you to remember to keep these families and all families going through bereavement in your thoughts and prayers, and let your actions reveal to them your true spirit. And never forget that these families will need you as they confront and adjust to the new normal caused by the loss of a loved one. Now, New Year's Day brought some change to Helena, West Helena, and Phillips County in several capacities, and one of those is that we have a new mayor in Helena, West Helena, Arkansas, and that's the Honorable Kevin Smith, and he also has a newly formed city council out of the old city council, where you have 6 members in lieu of 10, because the people in 2016 voted to reduce the council size. And so now we have 6 council members, 3 of them elected citywide and 3 elected from the wards. And those council members include in Ward 1, in the ward is Ms. Evergene Ford, and at large, Ms. Wanda Crockett. In Ward 2, Mr. Joe St. Columbia, in the ward, and at large, Mr. Christopher Franklin. In Ward 3, in the ward is Ms. Monica Davis, and at large is Mr. Don Etherly. And then our citywide officials include the Honorable Mayor Kevin Smith, City Clerk, who had no challenge, Ms. Sandy Ramsey, our City Treasurer, Mr. Derek Tailwind Turner, who won by 2 votes. That tells you again that every vote matters. And our City Attorney, Mr. Andre Valley, who's my brother, who challenged me on some of our lawsuits, but we won't hold that against him. It's a new year. He was unopposed. Mayor, I say hello and thank you for coming out for this. And we'll just tell the audience this is going to be an opportunity for you to just have a conversation on the radio with them through me about what your plans are and what you'd like to see happen and how I or they or anybody could help you to complete your goal of making the city be a better place to live.
No, I can't thank you enough for inviting me to be here. I'm going to enjoy this a lot.
Yeah, well, you had your first city council meeting. If you just kind of tell the audience kind of what that was like for you.
I was pretty tense, to be honest with you, Mayor.
You had a lot of nervous energy.
Yeah, I really did. I was pretty anxious, but I'm glad it's behind us. You know, I made a few opening comments and basically and I also said this when I was sworn in, that Martin Luther King said we may have all come over on different boats, but we're all in the same boat now.
Right.
The people want us to make this a better city. We need to all work together. We all live here, and we all going to sink or swim together. So, and then we got off to, you know, you know this already, but in state law, you have your first meeting after an election has to be an organizational meeting.
Right.
Set your calendar, set your order, rules of order, set all of that. It got tense a little bit because because I'm a new mayor, and they're not used to the maybe how I run meetings, and we have fewer council people, so we set the room up differently. There are a few things like that. But otherwise, you know, I'm glad it's over with, but it was a good start.
Right. And, well, you know, each time I encountered a new city council, we kind of rearranged the order. We had them sitting by ward, and at one point, Ward 5 sit up to the front, and you went 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then we flipped it where we went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kind of thing. But there was a couple of times we switched it because personalities, and you put the one with the least agreeable, for lack of a better word, personality at the far end of the table. You had Chris Franklin, Wanda Crockett, Don Etherly, Evergene Ford, Josiane Columbia, and Monica Davis, who are on your city council now. And you all have had a council meeting and a budget workshop. Mm-hmm. What kind of the things you're facing, and what, I guess, are your goals? I understand that you've gone out with some of the employees to kind of see what it's like for them.
Yeah, I'm trying to take a page out of your playbook, Mayor. I think one of the things that I liked, and I think most people liked about the time you were mayor, was you got out there with them city employees. You got out in the field, didn't stay in the office. I haven't done as much of that as I'd like. I just got there, but
yeah,
I got to go out and watch them tear down the first two houses, and got out there with them, took pictures, and people were stopping, and it was a lot of fun. I actually had more fun than I should have, probably. I didn't want to go back to the office after that. I just wanted to ride around with everybody and get stuff done. It's a lot more fun than signing paper and checks and whatever, having meetings. I think that's important. I think when I was out here campaigning, and I'm sure you heard it too, that people missed that and they wanted to see that again.
Right.
Yeah, want to see their mayor and their elected officials out there doing stuff and dealing with issues. And we got a big, geographically for our population, we got a pretty big town spread out. And it's easy to forget about certain pockets and corners of town. They want to see you.
Because you got some parts of town, to name one, what we call Helena Crossing, where it was already kind of separated by hills and other terrain, and now it's got fewer people there. So, it's kind of sparse. And that's one of the areas where it could be easily overlooked because the people down there kind of get accustomed to it not being like they want it and say, well, nobody cares and all of that. So, to the extent that if the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
That's right.
If they're not making any noise, they may not get any help. So it's just one of those things where as you get out there, you kind of see it and say, whoa, this needs to be fixed. That was one of my answers to the question at the forum. Where was the worst pothole? And there's one down there on Old Little Rock Road that I recall because I've gone to visit with a few clients down there for other reasons. It wasn't just that I was running for office. But now the city's budget, it used to be a lot more money than it is now, and I don't know what that is at this point. Do you have an idea what the budget, including the two water companies?
I think the total budget's somewhere over $7 million, almost $8 million.
Okay, that's been pretty good money. Yeah. Total. Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, it is. I mean, it should be enough to do what we want to do.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to – sometimes it's like just like ourselves. I mean, not just like me. It's easy to get in the rut and routine and doing the same thing, same old way. If you keep doing that, you're going to get the same outcome.
Right.
And so – but I'm not the only – I mean, I'm not saying that I'm the only person in the room that knows how to do this. I'm not at all. In fact, your brother has been extremely helpful. Andre's been very helpful. Derek Turner's been helpful. Sandy – members of the council, other former mayors. It takes a team approach. But I do think we need to figure out a better way and a new way. We're working hard on it. We're not there yet. But last night was our first workshop. to try and get us on the right path financially.
Yeah, certainly. None of this stuff will happen overnight, and we can't expect at this point you to have a full grasp on what you're facing. You may not even met all the employees and
kind
of thing. One of the complaints that I heard on the previous mayor, Mr. Holloway, and there's no disrespect to him, was that there were employees that had never really met him. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I did, beginning with the first pay period that I was there, I made them all come to me. I handed their checks in their hand. Hey, I'm James Valley. Glad to meet you. And because I made it to some departments, I didn't make it to others. Mm-hmm. And so then once or twice a year, I would do that where they had to come through me to get their check so I could put a name and a face. It also helps. And not that our payroll clerk is dishonest. I'm not saying that. I don't think she was. I think she's a good person. But, you know, for you to put a name and a face with an actual person this check.
Right.
Because it might be somebody.
Good point.
It might be somebody getting a check.
That's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that because you know, at least you don't have to worry. You know they're going to come, right? You know.
Yeah.
I did actually make that commitment in my campaign to meet every employee, ask without worrying about their supervisor or anything. They can just tell me, give me what they think we should be doing. You know, they're out there in the field. They've been doing it a long time. And I have met with some of them, but not all of them, even close.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know how many you got. It used to be about 200, I imagine 150 or so now.
That's about right. If it's looking at 1099, it's probably like 160, I think.
Yeah. That's pretty decent for a city our size. You got some challenges that you're facing in police and fire. One of them is going to be overtime, and I'm not asking you to necessarily make an announcement on the radio how you're going to deal with that, but all of us have had to deal with overtime, police and fire. We all had to deal with the fact that the police and fire are not revenue generators, although people think writing tickets benefits the city when it really doesn't for a city our size. If we had 100 people and we rolled 1,000 tickets a month, it might make a difference.
But might be your only income.
Yeah, we got 10,000 people, and we can't write enough tickets to sustain ourselves. So overtime is always a concern. A couple of things that I encountered, and I seem like I'm doing more talking than asking questions, was that they calculated overtime wrong sometimes. And so you have to be mindful of that. They calculated on top of vacation, on top of sick days, when it should be just on hours worked. And then, you know, it'd be straight time if it was just hours worked as opposed to overtime. So that's something you should.
That's another good suggestion. I'm learning a lot. I mean, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Try to act like I haven't been.
Well, you know, the rules are just different.
I've learned a lot.
Police can work 43 hours straight straight time. Fire can work, 212 in a 28-day period. And so it's 53 a week or something, 56 a week, whatever it is.
Right.
And you just have to be mindful of those things, but you just have to watch out because the back door is that if they know the rules and you're not so up on them, they'll get by you. And I don't know if that's in it. Ill intent. I just think everybody wants a nice paycheck.
Yeah, you know it's an important problem, important issue. Because on the one hand, as you know, you got to be careful because we're talking about public safety.
Right.
You don't want to shut down something if it's going to involve public safety. But that opens up kind of a loophole or for people to drive a truck through if they want to. They feel like they're not making enough. They want to earn more. Than that. I'm not saying they're not deserving it or working it and
they
getting
get a backdoor pay raise.
Yeah. So why don't we just pay them what they should be getting? And that's kind of been my point. But it's a little bit like fueling an airplane in midair. You know, how do you get off the overtime stuff and get on the full-time stuff and at the same time keep the public safe and all those other things? That's been challenging. I mean, I'm just, like I said, just got here. But it's definitely a challenging issue. I put a administrative order, I guess you'd call it a directive, to the directors.
I got that and saw it on TV, too.
Well, asking them, basically, to people are using the word freeze. That's kind of right, I guess, in some way. But the main thing was to sort of throw a cold blanket on it and force us to stop and not just keep doing the same old thing the same old way until we can figure out a better way. And these budget workshops are one way we're doing that. Everybody's been pretty helpful, including you just now, with some pretty good suggestions. And I'm definitely open-minded about it because we've got to solve this thing together. It's a big problem. We owe money. We have bills we have to pay. The future, some of the stuff coming down the pike with the property tax, sales tax issues and the new jail. Then you got the census, and now federal government's decided they don't want to send out people to knock on doors in rural areas and poor areas. They want us to all go and get on a computer. Well, we're the least connected place in the country.
Right.
So that's going to have the net effect of not adequately portraying how many people we have or what our population is for the census. And, of course, as you already know, our population on the census is tied to all of the money, you know, how much turn back we get and all the rest of it, school money and go on federal and state. It's a huge issue. So if they're not going to come down here and knock on doors, pay people to knock on, then how are they going to find out how many people we really have? And we already are undercounted.
right.
because of the people that don't want to be counted.
Right.
So to me, I see this now. That's a long term. It's 2 years away. That's not too bad, but it's something we need to start thinking about now.
Well certainly, we need to start thinking about that as well as when they do the census counts. If we can get a flood of people to get GEDs who don't have them now, it raises our educational level for the economic development purposes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What people are looking at, you know, your educational attainment, how many people have high school diplomas or equivalent, college degrees, masters, and mm-hmm. postmasters, and that makes a difference in terms of job recruitment, economic development, mm-hmm. and those kinds of things. It's an important,
yeah, it sure does.
Important piece.
We really need to think hard and long about it, strategize about it, get the college involved, the schools involved. Again, it needs to be a team effort. And you mentioned earlier about how people could help. That's a good way right there. If you can be involved and start early, and if you're in an organization, think about volunteering time. Also be an advocate, you know, against this sort of online self-reporting thing. That's going to hurt us a lot.
Right. And so, and should they advocate with Rick Crawford, our congressman?
Yes, absolutely.
And Senator,
all the above.
Senator Boozman and Senator Cotton.
Tom Cotton and Senator Boozman and Rick Crawford's the congressman. And I would also, Governor Hutchinson, and even your legislators, they're aware of the problem.
And
it helps if people are talking about it and talking it up. You know?
Congressman Bennett Thompson would probably be helpful, even though he's in Mississippi, but it's the Delta.
Same
thing. We're kind of connected. Yeah.
And he's and Democrats control House again now. So I didn't see where he landed, but I bet he's been there a long time. I bet he's chairman of something.
Yeah, his seniority is going to put him well up there.
Yeah.
It seemed like he may have been on the Homeland Security Committee or something of that sort. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
It's been a few years since I had any real interaction with him. But
I think he's powerful right now. By now,
yeah,
been there a while.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, Benny Thompson gets it, and sometimes he gets it better than our own Arkansas people. You know,
right.
But that's a big issue coming up. We have more in other issues, but that's definitely a big one.
Right.
There.
And you know, you mentioned in the email, we talked back and forth through email, something about crime, and I know you don't expect to solve all the city's problems from a crime standpoint, but just tell them what your approach to crime is going to be.
As
best you can at this point.
Well, we got to get more patrolmen out there on in the ground, in the neighborhoods, patrolling our at night, weekends. We're really at a critical place for that. I believe the chief and I are meeting with the colonel of the state police in Little Rock next week. When we're up there for the municipal league meeting, about some of the resources and maybe just supplementing what we have until we can get a control on our personnel problems, or not problems, but our issues. We need more patrolmen and women.
Yes.
Maybe they can supplement that until we get on our a little bit more on our better footing out there. Other than that, a lot of it is, I mean, you're in the criminal justice system every day. You know this better than I do as far as the, especially from the point of view of the court system, and you're a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer. But I think law enforcement can do a lot of things before it ever gets to the courtroom.
Right.
That can deter crime, prevent crime, trying to stop it from getting that far. Or if it does get that far, let's make sure our guys are trained well enough, and women, to have the evidence correct and all the things that you lawyers need in the courtroom, the judges, to follow through on that, so you don't see these people getting out in 60 days or whatever it is, and back on the streets. So we have a lot of people from out of town who bring stuff in here because they've been getting away with it.
Right.
And we got to make sure they know they can't get away with it anymore. They can go to somebody else's town.
Well, you know, one of the things I haven't seen recently, and I think it still exists, and perhaps you can talk with our new prosecutor, Todd Murray, about the drug task force, because you mentioned people coming in from out of town, and I've had the occasion of representing people from here out of town in Mississippi and Tennessee, where they've gone out of town to do a bad deed, and they had a task force that basically set them up. Mm-hmm. And perhaps if the task force was working here, they could do what they call control buys. They provide the seed money, they provide an investigator, they work with the confidential informants and all those kinds of things. And I don't know that the task force has been very active in Phillips County in a long time. And that might be helpful.
It's a good point. We're one of the things I campaigned on was trying to bring that back, too. And I agree, it hadn't been as active. I won't go into the reason that is. We just need to have an active one now. My understanding is that we're already underway getting some of that going again. I agree with you. You need to have really active engagement with them to address some of this stuff. You know, I think a lot of it's just about money.
Yeah.
We live in a poor area. People are looking for ways to make money, and not always in legal or ethical or safe ways.
Right, right.
And so in a case where it leads to violent crime, I'm not commenting on what caused it because I don't know, but, you know, your mother's house getting shot up and other houses in town, people and drive-bys, all those kind of things. A lot of it seems to go back to this violent culture to money in some way. Since somebody didn't pay somebody something, there's a revenge thing. I mean, there are a lot of motives, but the bottom line is it seems like the violence is somehow connected to money, and that's connected to drugs.
Right.
That's what it seems
like. I think we have a lot of that that overlap with the violence, the drug, territorial warfare, so to speak. This is my area. Don't be in it. That kind of thing.
Too many guns.
Yeah.
Too many semi-automatic or fully automatic now almost guns out there. Just, you know, some gun buyback programs, something I'm looking at.
The federal prosecutor, U.S. attorney, has pledged to help when our officers stop someone who's already convicted of a felony and has a gun, then it can become a federal case. Mm-hmm. And they're treated differently in the federal system than the state system. And so they get a stiffer penalty and more time in jail. And perhaps that will work if you get get a few of them caught up in that. The others will say, well, maybe I don't need to be in possession of a firearm because it's going to be a federal case.
Well, that's a good point. Our district federal court judge, Brian Miller, who lives here, I don't know how many people realize how important that is and how cool that is to have a federal judge who still lives here with us and us. And
it's already made some impactful change.
He has, yeah.
We're getting the district reorganized, and we're going to have more cases in Helena.
Yeah.
So more lawyers and jurors and other folks coming here to have lunch, to spend the night doing trials. We'll have criminal trials here as opposed to in Little Rock. So it'll gradually impact our economy in this area.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he's got some great ideas on some of the questions you just talked about far as. So he's a great resource and a good friend of mine. And we don't ever have enough time to talk after church, but he's always fun to talk to. But we're so lucky he's here. I mean, we have a lot of assets. You know, we have a lot of good things going for us, and people need to know that. But we just need to figure out how to get us to work together.
Marshal them.
And marshal them or harness them.
Yeah.
But it is a huge problem. I hope that people will see a presence, police presence, more out there in their neighborhoods than they have in the past. I hope we get the people out there in the field. We need retention. I mean, you know all this stuff already, but your listeners might not. We need better retention policies and. You know, and the chief knows all of this, and many of the city council people have already been working on it before ever I got elected. So we just need to work together and get that stuff done.
Yeah, and what's going to have to happen, at least in part, is some restructuring of how your money is spent. But at some point, you can tighten the belt up, but, you know, you can only tighten it so far.
Yeah,
and
no, that's right.
You're going to need some revenue from somewhere.
Especially in the water department.
And this is the thing, and this should help you and everybody, I think. Our fees and for services have not been raised in a substantial period of time. Most people may not recognize our sanitation rates were set by Mayor Johnny Weaver. They were set by Mayor Johnny Weaver. He raised it from $9 to $15, and people raised holy heck with him about that. And when we consolidated, we used that rate. It's $18.25 on the water bill, but the $3.25 is for the curbside pickup. That's the leaves, the mattresses, and all of that stuff. And that rate was set again in 2006 when I was the mayor. We added the $3.25, but the $15 for the trash, Johnny Weaver said in 2001 or 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just adjusted that under the CPI, that's the Consumer Price Index for our listeners, to today it's about $24-$25 for trash alone, and we're charging $15. And so, you know, there's some things that need to be done, and I can't tell you how to do them, but I can tell you that I think you should be telling people that at some point we're going to have to bite a bullet, and perhaps if you bite a slow bullet, you know, a dollar here, there, it gradually gets up, you know, over the course of time, you get it up to the rate it ought to be, but, you know.
I agree with you. The part, you know, I'll give you the water bill, for example.
Yes.
The recent rate studies have said we've got the lowest rate in the state, I think.
Yeah.
It probably needs to be raised. Senator Bozeman had worked really hard to get us a lot, well, not Helena, but the state, a lot of federal money, but you have to raise your rate to get it.
Right.
You have to show local effort.
Yeah.
That you're trying to do the best you can and so forth. But once you do that, you can, especially here in Helena and the Delta, West Helena, that we can get a lot more federal money and we can solve a lot of, if not all, almost all, or certainly a lot of our water problems.
Yeah, infrastructure.
But it's a catch-22 because when you say something like that, I just did. People say, well, you know, you're not spending the money you got now like you should. Look at this and look at that. So you have to, and I've tried to, that's kind of what I'm trying to do, and I hope I live that way or live by it as mayor. We have to show people we can be physically responsible so that when we do ask for those, that water rate increase or these other fees you're talking about, they feel like we're going to spend it well and not blow it. But I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I've talked to the council people as much as I can about it. And I feel like their feeling about it is we need to show some physical discipline, get a hold of these things like you're talking about, the overtime, some of the budgetary. But once we do that, you're right, it's still not going to be enough.
Right.
So we're going to have to look at those things.
And the other thing is, you know, the council took a browbeating on Facebook and in the newspaper and other things about what people call bonuses at the end of last year. And I'm not asking you to wade into those waters, but I am going to say that when I was the mayor, we didn't have that issue because we budgeted it at the beginning of the year and just held it as a matter of economic stimulus to pay it at the end of the year, and we called it deferred pay. And I just would suggest that the council kind of go to something of that sort. Mm-hmm. Not that it was the best idea in the world, but it gets you away from this thing. It also sets the city council's pay. Right. Well, see, each year that they do the bonus, it's considered a pay raise. So their pay goes up. But if it's already budgeted in, they know we're going to get this amount at the end of the year, then it's part of their salary already.
Well, it'd be especially good if it's tied to I've asked people who know more about this than I do to tell me or advise the council and advise me on what we could do. We could tie those things into, like you say, year throughout the year, not at the end of the year, and also towards performance and employee reviews. Or, like I said, I don't have any specifics, but it would be nice as we went through the year that we track that employee, and it really is an incentive, or it really is you're saying that you've done a good job. You did the things you're supposed to do and so forth. That sounds easy. It's probably harder to do in reality.
Right.
But I know others do it. We've talked about some other things you were talking about over time. I just found out last night we've had a facial recognition or something similar to that. I think it's facial recognition time clock at the police department.
Oh, okay.
As a grant or something that we got, and we wanted to try it out there. It sounds like maybe – and it's worked. It's helped with a lot of that. So maybe we can now adopt that in some of our other time clocks, start replacing the other time clocks with that.
Right.
So there are a lot of ideas out there like that. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think it should be built in throughout the year as a true incentive or a true – I think there's a better way to do it so that it's a true incentive or play throughout the year than the way we do it now.
Right. And, you know what you mentioned, and I guess we're getting close to running out of time. She hadn't given us any note, but what is your approach for the first 100 days? I think you mentioned that. So.
Yeah, I think some of the issues, you know about them too, because you've been out there as much as I have. Blight and crime and jobs. I want to hit the ground running and have sort of have a 100-day agenda. I haven't put it down in writing until right. Until your email. I'd been jotting them down. I haven't put them in any formal way.
Well, it's a little different planning when you're the candidate than yeah. once you become the mayor. You got to, you know,
that's right.
You got to tether it to the realities of what's going on in City Hall.
Well, and you know this, you get inundated, and anybody's been mayor probably, you get inundated with stuff you weren't thinking about.
Right.
We're running. So, and if you're not careful, that takes a lot of your time away. But this week we knocked down a couple houses on South 4th Street, south between South of Plaza there, between right. and that and South Sebastian there. And the people stopped. There's a lot of, that's what I was talking about earlier when I got out. I wanted to have two houses down my first week. Blight's such a big issue, yeah. and it's very visual, and it's a sign that people can see we're doing something. I'm doing some things on economic development I can't really talk about publicly, but I'm excited about it. I think there's some real good potential there, and I think your listeners should feel positive about it.
Right.
I feel really good about some developments coming along. And I know everybody always says that, yeah. But I really do feel that way about it. I think there's yeah. some good things coming.
Now, one of the things you're doing the cleanup, have you had a chance to, when they do the cleanup, did they clean the lot all the way down to where they can mow it, or? They're still in the process of cleaning. They just got them down.
Well,
and
I just
them up
they just got them down, and yes, cleanup is a big problem. And we've got it. That we were going to try to burn it, but yeah. the fire chief said, you know, it's not. It's too close to some other houses and siding. So now we got to pick it up and take it to the landfill. So we're in the process. It's raining now. I think yeah. Monday or Tuesday, whenever it dries up, we're going to okay. go clean those up. But we got two or three more, and we're doing some. I'll try to do it in places where they feel like it hadn't been done. But, I mean, honestly, and I passed some on the way up here. Yeah. You could close your eyes and throw a dart and hit something. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So it's all over.
It's
so,
everywhere.
So, but I think if people know you're doing them,
yeah.
They know that, well, he'll eventually get to us.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, the other thing I wanted to, I guess, tell you and advise you to, we, the Valley Administration that I'm talking about now, we stockpile dirt. In the old West Helena Park, you know, the West Helena Park was on Little Rock Road, mm-hmm. and we moved it to the Washington Street Park. Well, in that green space, so to speak, there's dirt. It's got grass on it now because nobody did anything with it. Mm-hmm. But it was when you tear a house down, the house seat sinks, mm-hmm. and it was to put that dirt in to level it and, mm-hmm. and to where well, you can grow grass on it and somebody can go in there and cut it with a lawnmower. So that dirt is still there, and it's, I don't know.
Over at Washington Street Park?
No, well, the West Island yeah. Park, which would be off of Little Rock Road behind Elm Street.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Well, Linda White, you know where Linda
yeah,
White
yeah,
lives?
Yeah.
Betty Faye Brimley.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It would be in Betty Faye Brimley's backyard.
I know where that
it's,
is.
It's grass on it now, but yeah. that's dirt there to fill in sinkholes
I didn't know that, Mayor.
For these house seats. Yeah, and it's been there for 8 years now.
8 years? Really?
Well, you know, I've been out.
Wow.
I've been gone since 2010. Yeah, and so.
I'm going to tell you. Mayor, between you and your brother, I've learned a lot this week. Yeah. Andre's been very helpful, too, down there.
Yeah. Well, if there's anything that I can do to help, you know, I try to do that. You know, I'm trying to make a living, so you'll get a few pieces of paper from me once in a while. But you know, that's just the life of what happens. But certainly if there's anything that I can help with, I'd be glad to, whether it's institutional memory or, you know, what my experience was. With
all those suggestions were good ones, and I just wish I didn't write them. I wish I'd brought something to write with. But
we can get her to forward it to you. It's a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, well, I don't like to listen to myself talk, but I'll get Helen or somebody. We're going to have coffee with the mayor. I think we decided today to start it in February so we can get through but we're going to try to do that on Mondays at a different spot, and we're going to be announcing that soon. And, again, something I'm going to give you some kudos here, Mayor. I heard that you had an open door policy when you were mayor that a lot of people, including employees, liked. I feel like I'm pretty scheduled, so, and I don't want anybody to feel like they can't reach their mayor, you know.
Right.
Or that if, you know what I mean? I know you. So I thought one way to do that would be have coffee on Monday mornings, ideally on Monday mornings, at different places around town.
Right.
And move it to a different place every Monday, and from whatever the opening hours are of that place to for 2 or 3 hours, we'll see how, if it's popular or not, how far we're. But anybody wants to come up, talk to me, include employees, and not have to worry about reprisal or anything. And anything they want to talk to me about, so they don't have to get scheduled and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I know it's really easy, and I can see this. I haven't been there a week. It's really easy to get sucked into sitting in that chair every day, all day.
Yeah.
And before you know it,
People. Oh, yeah. You can find 40, 50 hours of work in the office.
Yeah. And there are great people down there. But
and you can find that much out in the community as well. So you have to find a balance that works for you and the people who are supporting you. And I know you told us that you had somewhere to be, and we're getting close to that time.
Yes, yeah.
So what we want to do is give you an opportunity. That's something I haven't asked you that you wanted to share with the listeners as we get ready to close out.
No, not really. Just, at the beginning of new year, all these folks, you've been having to put up with all these politicians for a long time. Election's over. There's a time for politics and a time to govern. I don't think that's a lesson Washington has learned very well.
Right.
Let's not make that mistake here. Let's all work together and govern, and we'll campaign in politics next time that comes around. But in the meantime, let's try to get our – this is where I live here. Let's just all try to get our problems fixed. We got a lot of and if you want to help, just let us know. But just get started somewhere.
Now, you mentioned getting in touch with you and letting you know, but you haven't shared like an email or phone number, and which you can probably just share a phone number right now. I know the email hadn't quite transitioned over, is my understanding.
Mayor, I hate to say this, but I don't have an email set up yet, I don't think.
Right.
And I'm trying to, and I don't know what the main number is down there. You might know
Well, the main number is 817-7400 to City Hall.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Call that number.
That's the switchboard.
Yeah, call that number and ask for the mayor's office.
Yeah, and they can.
And I'll get your message, call you back, whatever we have to do.
Right, they'll transfer the call to you.
I told you I was new.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even have my phone number. I'm, just now learning.
Well, that's no problem. It's okay to be new.
Don't even have an email yet.
And the phone number may be your direct extension.
And I don't have a city cell phone, so I don't know what that is. I'd give you that, but.
Yeah, you'll get that in due course. It's coming.
I'm not sure I want one, really. I got too much stuff now to keep up with.
But reach out to the mayor, City Hall switchboard, 870-817-7400. And it's been an honor and a pleasure to have the Honorable Kevin Smith, the mayor of Helena, West Helena, Arkansas, on News, Views, and Looking at the Law. And our door is open. If you want to come back, you just let us know. If there's something you want to talk to our listeners about, we'd be glad to have you.
We'll do
and
it.
Certainly, if there's some way I can be helpful to you.
Thank you, Mayor. Very gracious.
I'm going to try to do that. And I'm available to the council members if they want some positive advice in terms of making good things happen in Helena. Because I live here, and I want it to grow and to prosper and all of us to be able to enjoy being here.
Thanks, Mayor.
And thank you. And with that, I'm James Valley with News, Views, and Looking at the Law. We'll see you on the radio next Saturday.